Welcome to the heated episode of the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. I'm your Lakers guy, Austin Sexton, with my guys from the Bay Area and even more up north. We got Roman and Casey. How are we doing today, guys?
Doing good.
Good.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, seriously. I feel like it's been so far few in between of these since these schedules have just been kind of crazy that, you know, we were in the group chat. We're like, today's the day. We got to get a pod in. And, you know, Brock might tap in. He said he was driving somewhere, but he might even tap in. But based off of how the Lakers and the Warriors are kind of on a roller coaster ride, I feel like this is a much needed pod to get some things off of our chest. So,
yeah.
But yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. Before we dive in, make sure to like, subscribe, do whatever you need to do on the podcast side, vlog side. I know we haven't been here, but we're back. We're gonna make a more concerted effort. We just want to talk hoops with you. So if you're a Lakers fan, if you're a Warriors fan, we're back to talk Lakers and Warriors hoops. So let's dive right into it. The Warriors, man, you're hosting the Grizzlies tonight. 17-16, you're back above 500. And you're hosting the 23-12 Grizzlies. No Ja Morant, 5:30. Tell me, let's talk about the game a little bit. What are you guys' expectations? How do you think the game's going to go tonight? What are you looking forward to? What are you a little bit concerned about?
Rebounding. Something that we've probably talked about ad nauseum here is rebounding. Just the Warriors being effective on the glass. And just being engaged for a whole game. And that's something, again, it's just something we've talked about so much. But yeah, the Grizzlies are a deep team. They play with pretty solid pace, and the Warriors just need to keep up. They played well last game, and hopefully they keep that momentum going for this one.
Yep. To piggyback off Roman saying, rebounding is going to be a big concern tonight. Memphis, they're a young team. They're a large team. And yeah, they don't have Ja Morant, but like the last time the Warriors faced off against the Grizzlies, they got just absolutely destroyed. Like I think I turned off the game at halftime. It was just like, yep.
Was that the 50 ball?
That was the 50 ball. So I think it's probably a little, the Warriors want to get a little get back on the Grizzlies, but they're still a really good team. And I don't know if Steph's going to play tonight. I know they are trying to manage his minutes right now. Draymond is going to play, so that's big. But I think we can see a big, Steph Curry is out tonight. So that's huge. I think we can expect a pretty big game from Jonathan Kuminga, who's been playing absolutely lights out the past week or so, maybe even longer. He's just been putting together like consistent high-scoring games every night. And
yeah, he's getting that draft stock up. Or draft stock, trade stock. Sorry,
yeah, trade stock. I was gonna say, is he gonna be on the market? I know that there's a lot of talk about a lot of different things. But I mean, between the Lakers and the Warriors being some of the most polarizing teams in the league, I feel like every other day it's a new trade rumor.
Oh yeah,
there is. We'll get into that. But with how Jonathan Kuminga's been playing, it's gonna be hard for the Warriors to. How can you let go? But anyways, Kuminga though. I think he likes to feast on centers that aren't as mobile. So, you know, a la Zach Edey.
Yeah.
So I think, watch for Jonathan Kuminga tonight. But also, I think it's going to be probably a tougher game than marketed, especially just given the history, the new budding history of these two teams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm excited.
And fair to say, no Steph Curry, so.
More Moody Minutes.
So, you know, we haven't got to talk about Moody too much because we haven't been on. How are we feeling about our feelings of more Moody Minutes? Are we still, is this still a screen that needs to be played from time to time?
From time to time. I feel like we've been seeing his minutes come less. Like he's kind of been in and out of the rotation.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the same situation we've seen like in seasons past. But the last game against the 76ers, he put together a really nice stat line.
Yeah,
and especially with no Steph Curry tonight, I think we'll see more Moody minutes, and we're gonna see some more Schroeder minutes as well.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting seeing how fully integrated Schroeder is in the offense, and really seeing what we can get out of him in situations like this that are going to become more and more relevant for the Warriors, that if Steph needs more rest, more time off, that yeah, someone needs to kind of take that place and take over that role. But I would not hold my breath with Moody. I think that he had too good of a game against the Sixers, meaning that Kerr is going to be like, nope, you're banished back to the bench.
Oh, boy.
You'll get 4 minutes this night. That is all.
Yeah. How Steve Kerr of Steve Kerr.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It's something that I would expect at this point. And yeah, it's frustrating because Moody did have a really, really effective game against the Sixers. But we'll see. We'll see. I think it should be a pretty high offensive output night, I think, from both teams, because I think both are just effective scorers and very dynamic. And yeah, I'm interested to see more of Zach Edey against Draymond.
And some Jalen Wells, too, who's a Sonoma State alumni.
Oh, nice shout. Sonoma State.
Climbing his way up the rookie ladder.
Man, I'm going to make sure to tune into the game tonight. However, you know, one of our sponsors, Meth Streams, is no longer currently streaming anymore. So I'm going to have to tap in somehow to the Comcast Bay Area or whatever it is that you use up there. We're gonna have to figure it out. But I'll make sure to figure out a way to watch the
maybe
the
tune into our new sponsor, Stream East.
Yeah, StreamEast.app. I love it, man. I love it. No, but on a serious note, how is Dennis Schroeder acclimating to your offense, and how has he been defensively for you guys? Because he's a 94 feet when he played for the Lakers. He was a 94 feet pickup defender. Always hit a big shot when he needed him to, too. He doesn't have the prettiest jumper, and it takes a little bit to get off, but if he has an open shot, he's going to take it, and he's pretty confident with it. So,
yeah, I think his offensive game has definitely taken some time to ramp up, but I think just because he's such an intelligent player on the defensive end, he's always going to have a decent level of effectiveness. But yeah, just as a point guard, I mean, he's qualified, he's intelligent, he knows how to make the right pass, and it's just trusting his shot and getting him more comfortable in our offensive sets that the Warriors run. I think that'll still take some time.
Yep, I agree, and I think we're seeing it like every game. He's looking more and more comfortable within the Warriors offense, and to start off, like his family's not with him right now. They're still in Brooklyn, I believe. Okay. So I'm sure like that's, you know, starting off, like that's probably pretty heavy on him. It's like being without your family, especially like Christmas Day, the holidays and all that. So I'm sure that maybe there's some of that going on, which maybe added to, I don't want to say it was a slump, but like a slow start with his new team. But we're seeing him now last couple of games, just like being, you know, doing Dennis Schroeder stuff. Like he's looking like himself again. And I think it was a great move for the Warriors to trade for him because
he's a great pickup.
It's a great pickup. Like he's been good on every team he's played on, and he just gives 100% effort every time. And with Steph Curry probably not playing, you know, he's not going to play every single game, like by design. So that's a perfect point guard. You can plug into the starting lineup and just trust that he's going to make, like Roman was saying, like he's going to make the right pass, and he's a solid veteran player.
Yeah. If you were to take a guess, we got the trade deadline coming up. I don't know. I think it's February 6th. I'm not exactly sure specifically what the date is. Who is the most likely, whether it be based off contracts or player performance, to be traded from the Warriors?
Oof. I think it all depends on who that free agent they're going for is, because the whole, like, you know, CBA and need like salaries to match and all that. I think Andrew Wiggins, I see his name in a lot of trades. I'm sure mostly because of the contract.
Because of the contract, yeah.
So
is he him and so Stephen Dre would be the top two paid on the team, and then I'm assuming it's Andrew Wiggins, right?
Correct.
Okay, so yeah, it would be him. Do you know who's after him?
After Wiggins?
Yeah.
I think there's a huge drop after that.
Yeah, I was gonna say after that, you got to be talking like $10 million or less per player.
Like it might be Moses Moody who signed that like 3-year extension.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Got you. But then, so everything else is like, it's got to be, you're looking for like, you're going to have to be taking a lot of your players to stack up salary.
Exactly. Like picks. It'd be like a multiple player option or multiple player deal where it'd probably include like GP2, Looney, Pajemski, like,
yeah,
you know, like any combination, a mix of like guys making like $5 million there, $1 million there, you know, because like Kuminga, he's on a big contract year. I think he's making like $7 million a season right now.
Yeah.
But that price is going to go up at the end of the season.
So with it getting closer and closer, what are realistic trade options for you guys with what you have? Let's be realistic. Like, let's talk about the hot topic. We'll bring up the other banner. The Jimmy Butler saga continues. Are the Warriors in for Jimmy Butler? And okay, this is a double-sided question. Is the organization in on Jimmy Butler? And then from your guys' perspective as fans, are you in on trying to get Jimmy Butler? Because I think that's two different things.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I feel like the organization can look at Jimmy Butler and say, he is a great, talented player. I don't think the organization is going to make a trade. I would love to see Jimmy Butler on the team. I just don't think the Warriors are actually going to pull the trigger on anything. I think
You don't think the organization's pulling the trigger at all, so this is your team for the rest of the season, period.
I have yet to be surprised by the Warriors. It's been offseason after offseason, trade deadline passed. A lot of hype, anticipation, this player, that player, name drop, and then nothing happens or another team comes through. I don't want to set myself up for any more disappointment with this team.
Understood.
And I've already been disappointed this season after the great start that the Warriors had.
You guys did have a fantastic start.
Oh yeah, it looked great.
Oh my God.
It looked great, but
I mean, both of us did. What, we were 3-4 together?
Yeah, there was a point in time we were top 4 easily. Yeah. But yeah, it's frustrating because I feel like the realistic trade options for us is not very realistic, and it's mostly hopeful because of what we just described as these contracts that the Warriors have.
Right.
It would have to be stacking up so many players, and I just don't think it becomes reasonable to a point for the organization to actually go through with a move like that.
Yeah, totally. As a fan, like Roman was just saying, like we've seen the organized, like the hype, like every like free agency, every trade deadline, like, Lauri Markkanen, like Warriors are in, doesn't happen. They don't want to trade Pajemski or whatever the story is. Paul George, the offer was on the table. Clippers didn't want to play ball. That was just one off season. That was, like the Giannis, like the flirting with Giannis, like I don't think that was ever going to happen.
I want to know what you guys would have, like, how you guys would have put that together.
It's too hard. It's
I just can't see. Yeah. You do that.
I think in terms for Jimmy Butler, I think I would like to see it. It would definitely put the franchise in all in mode for right now. And if he opts into his player option, then next season too. But I think his timeline and Steph Curry's timeline, that lines up more reasonably than like trying to do the youth movement plus Steph and Dre. Cause like the two timeline thing, it's tricky. And like, it's a lot going on. Like realistically though, like, yeah, we're probably not going to see another move from the Warriors. Like is trading away like all your young assets for like a Nikola Vucevic, is that worth it long term? Like it might help you win if you know like a handful more games, you might make the playoffs, but like I don't know, in a couple of years though, it's like it's gonna be bad. And I feel like if you don't win a championship or at least like go to the Western Conference, like make a serious run, like is it worth it?
Yeah. So I'm gonna pull this up. I gotta add this to the screen to remove it. And I don't know how to get rid of this now, but I wanted to, okay, there we go. So let's go to present, share screen. I want to go to cleaning the glass real quick. If you guys can see this, So this is your current roster of how long people have on their contracts, their annual average annual value, and the total value, right? So let's see here. GP2 is about $8 million a year. Schroeder's making about $12 million a year. Kuminga is about $6 million a year. Looney, $7 million. Yeah, so after, yeah, I was going to say after Schroeder and Moody, even Buddy's making less than $10 million. Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are just so, you guys are so top heavy. And then, yeah, the question we were asking Andrew Wiggins. Yeah. About 27 million. Wow.
Yeah. It'd be a lot of players stacked up, and the Warriors do got players to stack up. Like there's a lot of guys. Like Steve Kerr has cut down his rotation quite a bit. I think he's down to like a 9-man rotation now. So like, we haven't seen Kyle Anderson in like a cool minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Kevon Looney, we don't see him too much anymore. Yeah, we got Guy Santos in there. Like, there are names that could be moved as like cap fillers, but like, it's I don't know. And I'm gonna pop up the standings real quick. We're talking about the Warriors' great start. They kind of completely tricked that away now, as they're one game over 500, 17-16. It's tough. It's kind of tough sledding right now.
Do you have the? Do you happen to have up the schedule for the Warriors for the month of January, or can you pull that up?
Yeah, pull it up real quick.
I'd love to take a look at that. I've got it for the Lakers side of things too, and there's a few things I want to discuss on that end. But I definitely want to check out the Warriors schedule because Minnesota. Okay, so we look at this, right? It feels weird. It feels almost wrong to say that Phoenix and Minnesota are this bad. I feel like Phoenix is, I don't know. I feel like we can always say Phoenix is a move away from being something amazing, but they always trade. Every time they trade somebody to get something, they give away that thing that actually makes them tick, you know? So I don't think I fully believe in Phoenix. And then Minnesota, I think it's just a matter of time until they start, like, they just need to hit a good stretch. So
yeah, I feel like Minnesota is better than what's advertised right now. I think they're just trying to fit in Julius Randle, missing Cat, who's playing at like a very, very high level right now.
Yeah,
so, like, that's kind of hard, but they're figuring it out and they're putting together some good games. Like that Christmas Day game against the Mavericks was a fun one.
Yeah.
Here's the Warriors schedule for the month of January.
Okay.
It's kind of a mixed bag. I see a lot of winnable games.
Like, yeah, I agree with you.
Tonight's a
toss up, but I think you can get the win. So I would say there's one win. I think Sacramento is a win for you guys. I think Miami can be a win for you guys to pick,
especially
up
with the Jimmy Butler suspension.
Yeah, Detroit. Well, with Jay going down, it's tough, but they're sneaky good, dude. The Lakers lost both.
I think Cade Cunningham is the real deal.
So let's just for scheduling purposes, let's say that's a scheduled loss or something. Well, it's not a scheduled loss, but I'm going to give that a loss. I have to say that because Detroit beat us twice. So I'm going to give you guys that double.
There's probably a loss somewhere between Detroit, Indiana, and Toronto.
Yes. I'm going to say that you lose to Detroit just because they're a big, aggressive team. Indiana, I think you get the win. Toronto, I think you can win. Minnesota,
that's hard. At Minnesota,
I'm gonna say that's an L for you guys. Washington, that should be a win. Boston, cool
revenge game.
Yeah. is that a nationally televised game?
No.
You never know.
The script one is
the script writers. Boston, of course, that's a nationally televised game.
Max.
What the heck? That's crazy.
Right?
I'm gonna schedule that in as a loss, only just because they're just super fucking hot right now. Sorry. Sacramento, I'm gonna say that's another win for you. Chicago. Have you played Chicago yet?
No, not this year.
That better be a win.
Yeah, that better be a win. Los Angeles, we're not gonna talk about that one. Utah. it's a toss up, bro. But every time we play, it's like
Christmas Day.
Yeah, it's Christmas Day game. So it could go either way. Utah, you should get the win. Oklahoma City.
That's tough.
That's
but they won last time, but that was, you know, Chet went down. Chet still down, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's still out.
It's at Oklahoma City? No, it's at Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's home.
So I mean,
finish off in Phoenix.
That should be a win. I think it should be a win. But so let's go 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 4 losses that I have. I have 5 losses for you guys, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 and 5 over your next 15.
I'll take it. I mean, this is kind of
possible.
That's a big month for the Warriors right now, especially going into the like the All-Star game is in February, like early February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So going into like the All-Star break, I think that it's important for them to kind of pick themselves up a bit, especially like work themselves up in the standings. Like, please get out of the play-in. Like, 6 would be nice. Of course, anything better is great. But the West is just, you know, we keep saying this every show, but it is so needle thin.
Yeah.
In the West, as in like the win-loss differential, like,
it's crazy.
You're going to be scoreboard watching like the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, every time you lose a game, you drop 3 positions. Every time you win a game, you go up 1. You know, it's crazy. So it's definitely a crazy little race, but I think that you guys should be good for your next few. So here's hoping to that.
Yeah.
And I'm rooting for you guys. I'm going to watch that game tonight via thanks to our new sponsor. So, all right, you guys care if we move into some Lakers stuff?
Yeah, let's switch gears.
All right,
let's talk about something optimistic now.
You know, there is optimism on the Lakers side for sure, but we're still like a move or two away. But we've been playing better. I think we're 7-3 over our last 10, which is pretty darn good. But first things first, just because I haven't really got to talk any Lakers basketball, welcome Dorian Finney-Smith and Shake Milton. I'm really, really happy. They've been playing great. One thing I'm really happy about with DFS, and I don't know how much you guys know or have watched him play, but I think that Jeannie and Rob kind of looked at it as if Vanderbilt was not coming back. Like, I believe he's coming back, but they're taking it as like, we need a defensive stopper. Just in case. And then obviously the news came out that like Jared Vanderbilt's been doing on court work and he's like starting to do the ramp up with Christian Wood, which is amazing. But we have another guy that can go into the starting lineup if need be and actually put up, you know, anywhere between 6 to 10 points, but you could put him on your best perimeter guard and to have him chased around. So DFS makes a whole lot of sense. The only sad part is you guys know I'm a D-Lo guy. And D'Lo is no longer, you know, Brock would be like good riddance, but I just feel like I just still sit there and I think about, no offense, like the Lonnie Walker game. I think about like the Western Conference run that we had thanks to D'Lo and Vando and Malik Beasley, even though he didn't contribute all that much, but it just takes me there, you know, and
right.
I'm a little sad. So, but yeah. So welcome, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, Shake Milton. I don't know. Have you guys watched Shake Milton play at all? Like, have you just ever, you know, casually seen any of his highlights?
Last time I watched him play was when he was with the 76ers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the last time I remember seeing him.
So he has this game, bro. Like, I don't know. When I'm watching him play, he looks like the most confident hooper at the YMCA. And it like, he just has this like free and flow, like this really free-flowing spirit about his game, which is really cool. His jumper isn't, it looks a little janky, I'm not gonna lie, but it goes in, you know, like we'll take that. And I think he's gonna fit in on our team great as a guy that, because like right now Gabe Vincent is injured, you can throw him in and he can put up big numbers for you and hold it down. You're not gonna start him, but he's the guy that can come in if need be. He's a break in case of emergency, and he's going to kill it for you. So I feel like with DFS and Shake Milton, we've got some security and we've got people that can hold it down to keep us afloat until we make like one more trade that'll probably push us through. So yeah, I think that's I think that's kind of where we're at with the Lakers stuff. However, we have a brutal, brutal January coming up. So I'm going to go ahead and present my screen.
Yeah, pull that up.
Oh, man. 1 second. Los Angeles Lakers regular schedule. So this is the 5th through the 30th, right?
All right.
So there is no more than one day off between games and a couple of back-to-backs. So this is cause for me to think that LeBron James is probably going to have to take a couple games off because he's 40. You know, yeah, we can legit say that he is 40 now.
He's
so 40. He is actually 40 now.
Happy belated birthday, LeBron James.
Yes. Because he watches the show and he studies the way that we analyze the numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
Our glorious king.
Absolutely. So I'm very excited about our matchup tomorrow against Houston. I think it's a test game. I think it's a big testing game, and I think it's going to show like our guts and our strength. I think didn't Houston just have an injury or two? I can't remember. I feel like I saw something on Bleacher Report.
Jabari Smith got hurt in shoot around the other day, or maybe it was yesterday.
Oh yeah, like a fractured hand or something like that.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
He's gonna miss some time.
That bad. Wow.
Right. Yeah, so
he had to punch the wall or something.
Maybe he dunked too hard, or though.
Dunked it. Yeah, this is very true. This has happened on numerous occasions to multiple NBA players. Dunk it too hard, hand hurts. So our next couple, we're doing the trip to Dallas right now, or we're doing the trip to Texas. So we've got Houston, we have Dallas.
For the Mavericks.
I think that Dallas is on a decline right now. I think that we can, I think legitimately we can get the next two games. I think that the Dallas game is going to kind of show our, I think both of these games are going to show like what we're made of. And we've been hanging our hats on the defensive end of things lately. So our defense has been top three in the league for the last 2 weeks now. And our offense is kind of getting there. I don't know how much you guys have been watching the games. Have you been seeing Max Christie?
I've been seeing some Max Christie.
Yeah.
He's stepping up.
Max Christie, I believe, is finally okay, don't get me wrong. He has his moments where you can still see, like, he's still shaking off. Like, he's still learning what he should have learned last year when Darvin Ham didn't play him. So he's having those growing pains now. But you can see him turning into a legitimate 3-and-D player that makes consistent jumpers and, like, does the right things defensively. It's a beautiful thing to watch. But sure. But where I was getting at with this is that I think that over the next few games for the month of January, I think that we have a good shot at winning some games. Our schedule is kind of favorable. I think so. The one thing I am a little bit concerned about is the San Antonio it's not a back to back, but it's a
little baseball series.
I don't understand why the NBA has been doing that. I'm not a fan of it, but
it's probably just reducing travel overall. Like, they just don't want you to bounce around so much. So if you have matchups in one location, they'll just try to put those together as close as possible. So it minimizes travel. And yeah, it's created this weird, as Casey kind of described, as baseball series, which I actually really like, because you can track adjustments and changes for a team like much more closely, because you're seeing those changes right after almost. And
exactly.
Yeah, I think it's cool. And also, usually, sometimes a star player might sit out a game, and that makes a ticket price a little cheaper. So
yeah,
could actually go to a game.
This is very, very, very true. Very true. But yeah, we've got some favorable matchups. We have Miami, and I think that's going to be a vengeance game for us, because the last time we played Miami, we just gave up. I mean, they just
brutal.
Beat the living hell out of us. So yeah,
that's a get back game.
And yeah, that's a get Brooklyn
win.
D'Lo revenge game.
D'Lo revenge.
You're going to get the D'Lo thank you for everything tribute video.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely getting one. There's no way that they can't. After two times being in the Lakers uniform and then sending him again.
He'll be back.
He'll be back.
Yeah. It's not goodbye. It's just see you later. They'll put that on the... Jeez. But the Clippers. The Clippers have been holding it down. Isn't Kawhi back or, like, coming back, supposedly?
He's working back.
He's ramping up.
Yeah, he's going through his process of rehab.
That's going to be in the dome.
Yeah, I would like to go to that game. I would. The only time I would go to the Intuit Dome is to see the Lakers play. So, but I heard it's fantastic over there.
It looks cool. It looks really cool.
Yeah. The wall looks scary.
The wall does look scary. But, oh, man, the only real brutal thing about this schedule I'm seeing, to be honest, is playing Boston and then playing you guys.
That's a short turnaround.
Yeah, it's not that it's like it's short. It's just like playing two good teams that we know we're going to have a little bit of a
a little bit
of a struggle with.
And both these teams, like, they're like rivalry games, I would say. Like, Boston for sure, and then Golden State, it's like the California, you know, divisional rivalry.
Yeah.
And then you got Steph and LeBron. Like, it's not, like, as serious as a rivalry as Boston. Like, that's actual blood. But, like, it means a lot, though, like, playing Golden State and Golden State playing the Lakers.
Yeah. I think the new generation doesn't look at the Boston matchup as crazy as, let's say, somebody who was born in like 80 to 85 would, or somebody like people who were like, you know, two generations below us, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think like the new generation of people thinks it's like LeBron versus Steph, Steph versus KD, KD versus Bron. Like they look at that.
Yeah. Like players.
Yeah. They think about it as player rivalries rather than team rivalries. And you know, it's crazy because I feel like that almost started. Is it crazy to say that like, it really started with LeBron and Steph?
No, that's not.
I think that's really where it became a thing, you know. So, but yeah, the other thing with the Lakers, let me go ahead and get this off of the screen here. Other thing with the Lakers is we're trying to get a big man. That is the trade that we need. Come on, man, we need a big man. I would take Kevon Looney, to be honest with you. I'd take Kevon. What do you guys want?
Oh, no, the Warriors need anyone that's even close to tall. Can't trade
you, buddy. LeBron James, straight up.
Yeah.
Straight up?
Straight up. We do that for you.
Oh, man.
Or AD.
Let me talk to Rich Paul, and I will see what he says, and I'll make sure to break the news on the next show.
Yeah, we'll talk to Joe Lacob and Mike Donnelly V.
Yeah, see if we can't make it out. I mean, there was the speculation for a while that the Warriors were trying to still acquire LeBron, even though I don't know how. The only way that would work,
gonna happen.
The only way it could legitimately work is like Draymond and Andrew Wiggins, like to make the math work.
Yeah,
like, I feel like why acquire LeBron if Draymond can't be there too?
Oh, for sure.
Like that, I feel like they'd be trading for LeBron for Draymond.
Yeah, it's mostly for Draymond.
Steph's like, I guess he's like, yeah. Steph doesn't care. He's like, cool. It's like people will love it. Like Steph's on his own shit. You know what I'm saying? LeBron's thinking about it from the ratings perspective. Well, LeBron doesn't want to leave, but if he did want to leave, it would be from a ratings perspective. And like Draymond would just like be like little cinnamon sugar on top, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. But overall, I think that the Lakers have a favorable January, although they do play a lot of games day after day after day after, or like game break, game break, back
there
to back.
There could be a lot
break.
Of draft games.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But like I do think
Charlotte, who, you know, they could surprise you maybe. Like LaMelo Ball goes on an absolute heater, like who knows?
Brandon Miller just absolutely torches you.
He's the guy.
Yeah. Absolutely he can. I think that over the next 12, I believe it's 12, is it? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Over the next 14, the only games I'm super, super concerned about is the San Antonio game, only because it's playing twice in San Antonio. Although we did do that with the Kings and beat them both times. I'm concerned about San Antonio. I'm concerned about Boston. I'm concerned about Golden State. And I'm concerned about potentially Houston. So out of 14, I think we can go 10-4. I think that is an optimistic look at way to look at it. I think a realistic way to look at it would be 9-5, 8-6.
We'll draw the line there.
Yeah. That's our realistic.
9-5 is realistic. 8-6 is realistic.
8-6 is realistic.
That's as pessimistic as we'll allow you to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because that is
8-6 is realistic. 8-6 is realistic. 10-5 or 10-4 is optimistic. That's fair.
Speaking of optimism, in terms of like a the Lakers acquiring a big man, who would you like to see that big Lakers go target to acquire?
I feel like everyone talks about the Jonas Valanciunas thing is like it's like a game changer, and I'm not saying that it isn't, but I want somebody that can play alongside AD consistently rather than just somebody that you throw in that's matchup specific. Mm-hmm. And I think that Valanciunas is more matchup specific rather than being able to play him every single night. I think that the reason why people do like the Valanciunas idea is mostly because of his contract. Like if Washington was willing to play ball, we could throw in like JHS, or we could throw in Gabe. Well, I don't know if we would throw in Gabe now. Well, now that we have Shake Milton, I'm not 100% sure. Exactly. But you could throw in like Gabe just to get him. I don't think he's worth a first. I think we use like a second rounder just to incentivize it. Because I mean, Washington did get him strictly to trade him, and if we were doing that, I would want to pick up Kyle Kuzma. However, with the money that Kyle Kuzma is getting, we would have to throw in like a Rui Hachimura.
Mm.
Oh, send him back.
Send him back to Washington. And does Washington want Rui again? I mean, apparently Brooklyn won a D'Lo again. So.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I thought I saw some report or a rumor that that the Nets might buy out D'Lo, but then I also see the Nets like posting about D'Lo, so I don't know.
I mean, they're probably a little confused. They're probably like taking a step back from the trade. They're like, why is he back here? Why did we bring him back?
Sean Marks was off that stuff.
Yeah.
Probably.
I don't know. I mean, what does Kuzma really do for the Lakers? Like, what are you liking about him that?
I mean,
like,
he just
does something.
So number one, I don't know if it's number one or number two, but one of the top two reasons is A, he's played with Bron and AD, so he knows, he's familiar with that. You insert him, you know what you're going to get. I think he fits into what JJ's doing. I think he is a good enough defender for, and with his height and wingspan, he ties into what we're going to try and do defensively. I don't know what his, let's look at Kyle Kuzma's 3-point percentage this year. I'm going to go, let's see here. Ross, this is Charlotte Hornets. Let's go. No, I don't want to see Charlotte. I want to see Washington Wizards.
Without seeing it, what's a guess of his 3-point percentage? Without looking at it, what's everyone's guess?
30.
I'm gonna say 35.
I'm gonna say 31.
Kyle Kuzma is 3-point percentage.
25.8.
I'm trying to find his overall, not just matchup stats. Okay, here we go. Oh wow.
That bad.
Oh wow. Kyle Kuzma is currently shooting 25.8% from three this season.
So yeah. I remember earlier in the year I was seeing a lot of low light clips of Kuzma airballing three after three. And it was like one game that they were just low lighting him like that. But
is it because is he shooting this bad because he's trying to be the man? You know what I mean? Like, it's
I don't think so. He doesn't really present that way on the court. Whenever I've watched, like, the two Wizards games so far this season, it's never felt like that.
So Jordan Poole's tried to be the man, and so he Kuzma is.
Oh yeah.
So Kuzma is the 1B.
Pretty much, yeah. He's definitely that second option that they try. They like Poole tries to get him involved, but. Yeah, Kuzma's. I mean, just by his percentage that we found, that's not entirely working out.
But his career. So his career stat, he's shooting. He's about a 34% 3-point shooter for his career.
Okay. Yeah.
League average is what, like 35, 36? something like that.
Who knows? They're shooting so many threes. Like, I'm sure averages are all messed up.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like Kuzma fits into the system better. However, once again, the only reason I'm even bringing up Kyle Kuzma is because I would want him included in the Valanciunas trade if we were trading with Washington. But the thing is if I have to give up Rui to get Kuzma.
No.
That's a downgrade, in my opinion.
You could argue that Kuzma's the better defender because Rui does get lost a lot of times. Rui, over the last 10 games, Rui has not been a great defender. He has not been. He's a great spot-up shooter. A fantastic. He's top 10 in the league in three-point percentage, which is insane. But he's just not a great defender.
Off rip, I would say I'd rather have Dorian Finney-Smith over Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, and I would rather have Rui Hachimura. Once again, the only reason I'm including him is just talking about Jonas Valanciunas. If I could do Jonas Valanciunas straight up for Gabe Vincent or JHS, well, I guess it has to be Gabe because of the money. With Shake Milton in there, it's tough, but I think I'd probably do it. Because at that point, you would have to stack up a few salaries to give to Washington in order to make it work if it wasn't Gabe.
Yeah, let's see if there's other players you could.
You could do JHS, you could do JHS, you could do Christian Wood.
Justin Champagny? Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
I like him.
Are you talking about for a trade for the Lakers?
Yeah.
Is he a big man? I don't really know anything about him.
Small forward shooting guard.
I think I would look at this as we need specifically a big. I would not look at anything other than
as like a package, like, you know.
Okay.
Just because, like, I'm sure Kuzma is making like a lot more money.
What's the money that he's making?
Let's see.
My guess is 17.
Well, my guess is whatever. My guess is probably going to be wrong, considering I thought Kyle Kuzma was a 35% 3-point shooter this year. I wasn't wrong on the career stat.
Yeah.
Spot on. Let's see. It's loading.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll come back to that in a second. Pull it. Let me know when you have it.
2 years. $3,565,000.
3 million.
Yeah.
He's only making that much.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, throw him in. Throw him in.
Yeah, that's
throw
free.
We'll take. Yeah, we'll give you. Yeah, Gabe and JHS. Perfect, because we're looking at it like we already said that we're not bringing back JHS. We look at it as a $4 million expiring contract. So
yeah,
perfect. There it is. Lakers, do the thing. Other big man, I'm looking at. Yeah, Rob Pelinka, an avid watcher of the show. We'll take this into consideration.
We'll take a finder's fee for the trade.
Absolutely. The other big man I like is Nick Richardson. And then the only other guy I could think about is like some sort of trade for like Vucevic. But I just don't think that's really worth it. But I mean, it's a fire sale in Chicago. So
exactly. I mean, you could probably, I don't know, get a bunch of second round picks and like.
Well, we gave up three seconds for Dorian. So.
Oh, never mind. Yeah.
So, but yeah, we only have like one.
To be fair, Chicago has said that like, oh, like we're trying to find trade packages for Zach LaVine. I feel like I've been hearing that for like 4 years.
Yes.
Like a long time of trying to move off Zach LaVine, trying to move off. Yeah. Now Vooch.
The contract. The contract is pretty nasty and it's not like he underperforms. It's just that he's just aging. Like he's not old, but like he's not getting any younger.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're trying to maximize where he's at right now for any return, which is like that's fair. That's smart. They want to.
Over there.
I think Zach LaVine would look good on a lot of teams right now. Like you put him on the Denver Nuggets, like that's cool. That'd be nicey in the words of John Gruden.
So nice-y. Vucevic right now is making $20 million. It's kind of a bag.
That's a little too rich for my blood.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it. I mean, career right now or recent games.
He's got another two more years on his contract too.
Right now he's 20 points per game. This season he's 20 points a game.
He's solid.
44% from three.
Oh, that's nicey.
He's probably shooting like one every five games.
Yeah, probably.
One block a game, one steal, 10 rebounds. So 20 and 10 for 20 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
But let's get off of the Lakers stuff. Their next game is Houston tomorrow. I'm excited to watch that in the Laker game or the Warrior game tonight. But since we're looking forward to the New Year's, what is one New Year's resolution that you could take for your team?
Oh, resolutions are always about like making big dramatic change and bettering yourself. Warriors, just make a trade. Like Dennis Schroeder was a great, nice little like baby step. Make a fucking trade. Get rid of Kuminga, get rid of Pods, even Wiggins if you need to. Make a trade, make a splash. Do something fun and exciting for the end of this aging core that you have. Just stop wasting everyone's time. Make a decision, commit to a bit.
I like it. I like that a lot. I'll say start hitting threes. I mean, we saw him hit a lot of like shooting was on fire on against Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see that on a more consistent basis. Like this is a franchise that in recent history has become like the three-point shooting team.
Right.
And now we're seeing them like shoot probably, you know, lows in like a long time. Like Buddy Hield has been ice cold. Steph Curry's not shooting threes at a high level as we're used to him seeing. Let's get back to let's just see the ball go through the net.
I like that.
What about for the Lakers, Austin?
Bring back D'Angelo.
Yeah. My New Year's resolution is, and I think this is a good one, I want to see the Lakers as a team, starting with LeBron all the way down to Bronny James, stop complaining to the refs.
I love it.
Very good.
Because I can't stand more than anything when AD or LeBron complains to the ref and then the other team just goes and scores a bucket. Because basically they're hoping that there's a stop and they can just and we can get the defensive rebound and just throw it back down the court for a cherry pick.
Mm-hmm.
But that is so far few in between. It never happens. I see it once every it's like a 10% chance. It's like one every 10 plays that happens. So Bron, you're my goat. Love you, man. AD, you're a phenomenal player this year. You're always great. AR, you're killing it right now. Let's stop complaining to the refs and get back on defense. That's it. That's my New Year's resolution.
Yeah, that. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah.
Well said.
You know, and I think that exactly what you guys were talking about for the Warriors is exactly what you need. Let's make a splash and let's make those threes. So, I'm Austin. This is Case. Fantastic episode and a much needed episode of the Bay LA podcast. Your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and a little bit of news from around the association. We'll be back maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after, but we're going to be more consistent. That's our New Year's resolution. So
there we go.
Yeah. Until next time, guys, take care.